Marcus Sahaba, the voice of Ahl Sunnah wal Jamaah.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, esteemed listeners of Marcus Sahaba, the voice of Ahl Sunnah wal Jamaah, and our esteemed listeners of Sirius FM. We welcome you to our program, Al Fiqh al Madahib al Arba'ah, Jurisprudence according to the four schools of thought. Today's date is the 26th of Jumad al-Akhirah, 1444, corresponding to the Gregorian calendar, the 19th of January, 2023. Our topic today is on halal and haram. Our Honorable Mufti Sapia is here. This is Mufti Abdul Qadir Hussein Sap. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Barakallahu feekum wa Zaid Khan. And thank you very much to our engineer and technician, Bonface.
Mufti Sahab, the first question is, how important is it to consume halal?
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Nahmaduhu wa nusalli ala Rasulil Kareem. Amma ba'd. All praise due to Almighty Allah, the sustainer, nourisher, and cherisher of the universe. Peace, blessings, and salutations be upon our beloved master and leader, Nabi Muhammad Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Before I respond to that few announcements, we start on a very, very sad note, Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un, and that is Almighty Allah Jalla Wala informs us, Kullu nafsin zaikatul maut, every living being shall taste death. So one of our graduates and students from Darul Newcastle, he just came back from, you know, Umrah on Monday, and now he passed away yesterday after Asr. Maulana Muaz Ma'ani of Cape Town, very, very intelligent, and I received the news only this morning. Maybe they sent it last night late, but nevertheless, so he passes away. Allah Jalla Wala grant our Maulana Muaz Ma'ani Jannat al-Firdaus al-A'la. Allah Jalla Wala grant his family Silwan and Sabar, and Allah Ta'ala make easy for the entire bereaved family as well. So that's one. Two, remember that you, the esteemed listeners of Sirius FM and of Markaz Sahaba, the voice of Ahlu Sunnah wal Jama'ah, today is the 26th of Jumad al-Akhirah. So this week, Sunday, we must scan the sky and look for the new moon and crescent. And if the moon and crescent is sighted, then remember we will read the dua for the new moon. Allahu Akbar, Hilalu Khairin wa Rushdin. And that will be Sunday night, if it is sighted, the new moon crescent is sighted. Hilalu Khairin wa Rushdin, as I mentioned to you on several occasions, is mentioned in Abu Dawood. And Hilal, that is for the first three nights of the Islamic lunar month. In Arabic, every three nights, the moon has a new name. That is the richness, the beauty, the glory of the Arabic language. So Hilalu Khairin wa Rushdin, Ya Allah, make this month the month of Rajab, a month of khair and goodness for us, our families, and our Ummah and Muslimah. Wa Rushdin, and a month of righteousness. And remember that once we have confirmation that Rajab has started, the moon has been sighted, and we ourselves might see the crescent, is a 50-50 situation for Sunday night, then we'll read the dua. Allahumma barik lana fi Rajab wa Sha'aban wa ballighna Ramadan, that is after the month of Rajab has started. Ya Allah, grant us barakah, blessing, during this month of Rajab and Sha'aban, and spare us for the month of Ramadan. The hadith in Mishkat Sharif, in Bayhaqi, and various compilations. Yea, there is an academic discussion among ulama. It's not something of halal and haram, but is something of what is preferred and not preferred. So if you ask the muhaqqiqeen and those who go really into depth of all these things here, so how should you read this dua? Allahumma barik lana fi rajaba or rajabin. So we say it's best to read it, Allahumma barik lana fi rajaba. And Hazrat Mufti Ridaul Haq Sahib, our Honorable Ustad, has written mashallah on this and in his Khutubat Kitab, in his Fatawa and so forth. So that is the preferred way of reciting it. But if somebody wants to read Allahumma Barik Lana Fi Rajabin, so that also will be not something we have to argue and fight about. It is something that is what is preferred and not preferred. So if you study without any prejudiceness, then you will find that Rajaba is better. But some ulama say Rajabin. So it was something that we need to know and prepare ourselves for the month of Rajab. Inshallah, as we come closer, we will repeat these issues. So, Maulana, your first question for today's program, Halal and Haram, is how important it is for a Muslim to consume halal. Remember that Almighty Allah Jalla Wala in the Noble Quran, anything we want to address, we must go first and foremost to the Noble Quran, then the Sunnah Mubarakah of Mustafa Habibuna Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Allah Ta'ala states, Ya Ayyuhan Nas, O humankind. Allah didn't say, Ya ayyuhal ladhina amanu, O humankind. Allah is addressing Muslim, non-Muslim, Jew, Christian, Hindu, Buddhist, atheist, everybody. Kulu mimma fil ardi halalan tayyiba. Consume that, whether it is your solids or liquids from the earth, which is halal, lawful. A Muslim must not only aspire and relish and cherish to have halal only, nay, we should have tayyiba. You understand? That which is pure, wholesome. There is not 1% of adulteration and any point of, you must remember, mix up and anything, contamination. Nothing. وَلَا تَتَّبِئُوا خُطُوَاتِ الشَّيْطَانِ. Do not follow in the footsteps of Satan and Lucifer. And today we have so many Lucifers and so many shayateen. شَيَاطِين الْإِنسِ وَالْجِنِّ يُوحِي بَعْضُهُمْ إِلَىٰ بَعْضٍ زُخْرُفَ الْقَوْلِ غُرُورًا. We have Satan in jinn form, and we have the shayateen in human form. And they call you to one another, make this halal, make that halal, make that sharia compliant. All end of the day just for money. So we need to be clear on these issues. إِنَّهُ لَكُمْ عَدُوٌ مُبِينٌ. Indeed, Satan and his agents, they are. That's why he's mentioned plural also many times. Shayateen is coming just now. I'll give you all the references. That he is your open enemy. So the first verse that is there, we must all try and aspire and try our level best to consume that which is halalan tayyiba. The legal, lawful and pure and wholesome. Chapter number 2, and that is Surah Baqarah, and verse number 168. So that is the first part. Second part, people looking for loopholes, hilas, making this halal, making, putting halal logo here, halal logo there, and making sharia compliant and so forth. So remember for that, and then they'll give wonderful speeches, you know, and zukhruf al-qawli hurura, and they'll be deceiving the people what they are, big lectures and so forth, and oratory. So Allah Ta'ala warns us and says, fadharuhum, leave them. وَمَا يَفْتَرُونَ, and what they are concocting and fabricating. Chapter 6, verse number 112. So there you have it. Almighty Allah is warning us on these issues here. And then, why must a Muslim? Why must a Muslim have, you understood, so concerned about these things here? Allah Jalla Wala gives us the answer himself. And I'll tell you one, two nice anecdotes on that story, on that issue. That Almighty Allah teaches us, Ya ayyuhar rusul, kulu minat tayyibat. O you, the prophets and messengers, alayhimu salatu salam, kulu minat tayyibat. For the anbiya, prophets, Allah didn't say halal only. Allah Ta'ala said tayyibat. You must make sure, O you prophets and messengers, alayhimu salatu salam, you consume that which is 100% pure, and it has no adulteration, contamination with haram and so forth. Why? وَعَمَلُوا صَالِحًا. Input, output. If things go inside 100% pure, we will be motivated, inspired, everything. You must remember to do the righteous deeds. Today, if you look at the Ummah, not only South Africa, Africa, Makkah, Medina, the world. So you will find the hardly border of these things here. Yeah? Therefore, you find a simple way of working it out. How many people are reading Fajr Salat on time? How many people are reading Asr Salat on time? The men with Jama'ah in the masjid and the women at home on time. So you'll find 80%, 75%, they don't do that. The absolute majority. Why? Because their motivation, inspiration is gone. They just eat what they want to, just see a logo here, see logo there, and look for anything and just eat. So input, output, you see. So when you are meticulous and particular, then Allah will let that food and that consumption of yours motivate you towards righteous deeds. And this is enshrined in chapter 23, Surah Mu'minun, verse number 51. So that is there. So let me give you the story, Maulana, so you will understand. You know, in those days, now 4 or 5 years ago, so now till 2019, 2020, the first 2-3 months till then. After that, yeah, in 2022, I went, not 2022, 2021, I went once. And Mozambique, 2022, I didn't go. So just say till 2020 and all. So remember, we used to go 3, 4, 5, 6 times overseas per year, that was. You know, Allah's help, Allah's mercy. هَذَا مِنْ فَضْلِ رَبِّي. So this is the grace and mercy of Almighty Allah, Jalala. So many a time that you are sitting on a three-seater, you know, in the plane. So I'm in the middle, my wife on my left-hand side, for example, a non-Muslim. In the starting, you can make out the guy is very uncomfortable. He thought maybe Osama bin Laden came back or something, you know. So, you know, these people, they believe in that, some of them. That reincarnation, you come back and all that. Astaghfirullah, it's kufr that. So it is blasphemous in Islam to believe in that. Anyway, then I'll tell him, brother, that you know what? Sit comfortably. That we are the most sober people on this earth. We don't have wine. We don't have swine. We don't have all these things. And ask me whatever question you want. So always they will start with 2-3 questions. Why your wife is dressed like that, you know? So that I tell them, how many passengers are in the plane? I say 100, 200. Is that fair? He says fair. I ask him that, this thing, we say half male, half female. Is that fair? He says fair. So let's say 150 male, 50 female, for example. So I ask him, who will be a better example for the children, grandchildren, the lady next to me, or there's those ladies there, scantily clad and are three-quarter naked, half naked? Then he'll point here to my wife. I say, that's the answer you gave yourself. Second question, he'll say, why you don't eat swine? Why you don't eat pig? So you can't give them, Maulana, answer with discussing halal, haram. So you have to give them such an answer logically, so that must make sense to them, because they're non-Muslims. So I tell him 2-3 answers. I say, did you study a pig or swine? So get worried, you know. I say, you must study it. It never picks up his head. It's always looking for filth and dirt everywhere. So if you study that, you know. So, you know, Lucknow Madrasa, Darulum there. So the amount of swines running around there, I couldn't believe, outside the madrasa, you know. So the, but now it's non-Muslim, what can they do? And China, don't speak about it, has to run away on some streets. It's like their staple food, you know. Breakfast, lunch, supper, the swine is, must be there, pig. Allah forbid. So they love it, you must remember. Astaghfirullah. So it just eats dirt the whole time. That's number one. Number two, I told him, brother, if I call you a goat, you will like it. He said, no. I said, if I call you a cow, he said, no. If you say, I say, you're a pig. He said, nah, me, I don't like that. I say, brother, is it not funny that you don't like to be called a pig or a swine, but the whole day, every day, you want your bacon and ham, every day you want your pork bangers and so forth, then he start laughing. You understood? You don't like to be called that, but he wants to eat that whole day, every second day, once a week, whatever. Third reason, you must understand this, Maulana. When you study the swine, so what happens? They have their mating time, mating season. So when they have their mating season, then what happens is this, that you get the male and the female. The female is called sow or whatever. We'll just say female. So anyway, so this behayai, immorality. So this female swine, pig, will say multiple of these male swines must come, pigs must come and get busy with her and so forth. You don't see in today's world how much zina, fornication, adultery, how much gay business, and now they're already going to the next step, and in South Africa it's in a pipeline also. That you must remember, they want to legalize incest. Did you ever wonder the orgies they have? They had one woman and 10 people, and what and what and what you read in the newspapers, how many women get raped in prostitution. Now, as I speak to you, in Davos, they in Switzerland, every remember club, every escort agency, every gay club, everyone back to capacity. You must remember. This morning I heard they said there are 3,000 delegates from different countries there, and their ministers are there, their prime minister, president, kings are there. So for what they going there, majority of them? They going there, they just to give one, two lectures, and the rest of the time they busy. They don't worry of where the entry is, where the exit is. When they come back, they have to go for rifle repairs. So these are the shayateen we're talking about, you must remember. And they want to come tell the world, this is how the world must run, divorce and so forth. By the time they finish, they will be divorcing their wives half the time. So that's why Islam is always the best, and we have to share it with the rest. And that is, you know, Mustafa Habibuna sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and every Nabi is ma'soom, protected by Almighty Allah jalla wala from all types of sins. The ma'soom, Isbatul Anbiya we call it. But beside, I want to show you of Sayyidina Abu Bakr as-Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala an. Even prior to revelation, remember that he is in Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu, and a very small group, they were called Hunafa. Why they were called Hunafa? They never worshipped an idol. They never ever drank alcohol. They never ever committed zina, fornication, adultery, and so forth. A small band and group of people, Hanif, Ma'ilun, Ilal Haqi, and Ma'ilun, Anil Batil. They always turned towards the truth, and they turned away from the falsehood. So that time was, they were not, there's no thing about wahi and revelation, but their inner selves, they could say that this is right and this is wrong. So today we have the greatest constitution, the noble Quran, we have the Sunnah Mubarakah. So when you explain to a non-Muslim, tell him about the neck of the swine, tell him about if a person calls you the swine and pig, and tell him about this orgy business and what you think that today is happening. You go to anywhere, take South Africa. Why go far? Take South Africa. Now 2 weeks ago or so, or maybe 3 weeks, but anyway, now in this year or ending of last year, if you want to be technical, then they said they had a survey and so many girls are pregnant in school and so forth and so on, and 60% of them will be giving birth, and say they know the children won't know who their father is. So we have a country of haramis. You have a country of bees. You have, when I was in Brazil, you go to these places, then majority of the people, illegitimate, France, all this, South Africa. So in Brazil, they have special school for the illegitimate children. So see, Islam says no. You must promote a pure and a chaste society. That will only come about when you have and eat and consume that which is halal and tayyiba.
Mufti Sahib, the next question is, what are the consequences of indulging in haram food?
Remember, if a person eats haram, the logical answer will be that you will never find that you are inclined towards good deeds. Take the easy example I gave of Fajr Salat. When we read Fajr Salat on time today, we read with Allah's help, Allah's mercy. Man swalla subha, you read Fajr Salat on time, the men in the masjid wa jama'ah, the women at home, fahuwa fi zimmatillah. You're under divine protection. And if a person, remember, doesn't read Fajr Salat, what hadith in Bukhari Sharif tells us? Ba'ala shaytanu fi udhunihi, ba'ala shaytanu fi udhunayhi. That shaytan urinates in that person's ears. Is that not a terrible consequence? So imagine we starting the day, we wake up after sunrise, then we're going to have nashta and breakfast, then we will take a shower, then we will wear our suit and tie or whatever, and clothing and so forth, and show the world how immaculately we are dressed, dressed to impress and so forth. But the whole day, basically, you will be influenced by Satan and Lucifer because you didn't read your Fajr Salat. Is that not a terrible consequence? One. Hadith Sahih, open Mishkat Sharif, open Ibn Majah. Habibuna Mustafa Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Man shariba al-khamra, whosoever takes alcohol, and whosoever takes drugs." All these people today in the drug industry, you know, I don't even know the names. There's Dakha and Mandrax and what was it? Meta what something? What do you call name? Metaphene or whatever. So like in Cape Town, they got the tuck. So I say when I lecture there, I say on some Mensa, a tuck from the tuck off. You know, so the people are fed up with the tuck and all that. How many children's lives got destroyed and people got destroyed? So all these funny things, you understand? We don't even know how it looks, first of all. So the point is, once you take this, لَمْ يَقْبَلِ اللَّهُ لَهُ صَلَاةً أَرْبَعِينَ صَبَاحًا. For 40 days, that person's salat is not accepted. So what does it mean? It doesn't mean you mustn't read Salat. It means you must perform more Salat and beg Allah, Ya Allah, human being. It was a moment of weakness and madness that he or she took that alcohol, took that drug and what have you, intoxicant and what have you. So that is what it means. And the reward will be decreased, will not be increased. So that is the real meaning. And if you see the second time, and every time you must give them 80 lashes. And second time, 80 lashes. Third time 80 lashes. فَإِنْ عَادَ فِي رَابِيَا فَقْتُلُهُ. And if he does it the fourth time, you must kill him. The Hanafi ulama translated like this, that the Ra'yul Qazi, if the Qazi passes the law, that he must be given the death penalty, then in the Hanafiya, that is jaiz also. So see, this is hadith, there you will find in Mishkat, Babul Wa'id, so the warning regarding alcohol. Today is counted so light. How many Muslims I know, they go to posh restaurants, they will go to this casino, they will go to that club, they will go to that hotel, and because it's a business deal, now they're sitting in the corporate world, and now they'll say, no, we just have a little bit whiskey, little bit champagne, it don't make us drunk. Like how the Saudis today, some of them are saying, that they say, no, we drink the beer, but it don't make us drunk. It only become haram after you become drunk. So what happened to the hadith of Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? Ma askara kathiruhu faqaliluhu haram. So whatever intoxicates in large quantities, remember the smallest, minutest quantity, is also absolutely haram. So what happened to that? It's authentic hadith in Mishkat Mustada Ahmad. So therefore, these people, yeah, this is tala'ub bid-deen. Therefore, I'm on record not once, 100 times, 1,000 times, you can quote me anywhere. As far as the Arab countries go, Saudi Arabia go, we make Saudi because of Makkah, Mukarramah, Madinah, Munawwarah. Our people and everybody has to go there for Umrah, for Hajj, to Ziyarah, to Madinah. So for not today, not since Murtad bin Shaitan came into power, you can ask anybody, the groups we used to take for past 30 years and so forth. I always used to tell them that all this al-humul mustawrada, that this food that comes from overseas, imported meat, come from Brazil and come from here and there, some come from South Africa also. So you must remember this. One day I even saw, you know that beef, that thing with the red, like, you know, thin like. I found that day in Bin Dawood. So you must remember this. And all halal, they say. Astaghfirullah. So you must remember these kind of things here. So yes, imported meat. Even I got books of the Saudi ulama. They say it's not permissible. So the title is Al-Luhum Al-Mustawrada, imported meat you brought from overseas and so forth. So therefore, we say even now, our people, you're going for Umrah, you're going Makkah Mukarramah, Madinah Munawwara, Jeddah, wherever. So make sure, if you really want, if you don't care that it's your business, then you get your Umrah is rejected, whatever. We addressing people who are really concerned about their ibadat and so forth. Some people got la yubali attitude. Koi parwani. They don't bother anything. They just see halal. Or they say no Muslim country, everything halal. So they everything halal. They got alcohol everywhere now. This is what you're going to say then. So you must say, Emirates Airline, you travel. So what they got there? They got there, the menu, and people don't know the Arabic, so there is written, all the meals served here are halal because they're not serving khinzir. But you will see the amount of alcohol they're going to serve then with it. So that, you see, it becomes a mockery. And most of the Arab airlines, Muslim countries, they had one, two airlines, like Saudi, I know the airlines, that they don't have alcohol. Maybe one, two other countries. But we speak of by and large, all of them they sell, or they have the alcohol and so forth. So therefore, like the Jutlas, you see, they have kosher alcohol. We will come to the kosher story just now. So the point I'm making here is this, that those who are really concerned, if you really want your Umrah to be such a quality Umrah, a quality ziyarah to Madinah Munawwara, then stay away all this KFC and McDonald's and what and what, Allah alone knows. Yes, then these are the famous ones, that their meat come from overseas, most of them. So, and remember the two hadiths here. This must, not only in Makkah, Madinah, everywhere in the world. I went to Iran, right? I spent 12, 13 days there. I arrived 2013. I arrived there on 1st Rabiul Awal. And remember, 13th, I came back. So I say 12, 13 days. I never touch any meat. I never touch any chicken. Never touch anything. We just had fruit, vegetable, and fish. And if they want breakfast time, boiled eggs, like that. So what happens? We didn't die. In fact, I think I picked up maybe 1-2 kilos. You understood? But we must have that worry, that concern, and so forth and so on. You can't be saying the Shias are not Muslim, and then you're eating, they are slaughtering, and then how you reconcile that then, you see. So therefore, we must be very... I must tell you one nice story on this also, about Makkah, Medina. So all these things here, you must remember, not from now, that from those days we're telling people, if you're going Makkah, Medina, you must eat wataniya. The local meat, local chicken, you sure about it, then it's fine, we got no problem. This was right in the 70s, Maulana. We're speaking of 50 years ago now, plus minus. We were in Medina Munawwara. There was one Jamaat brother. He came to me and he said that the chicken and all that, I said, brother, if you sure it's local, then you must eat. And if from overseas, then you must abstain. But he wasn't satisfied with that. But he couldn't speak Urdu. You know, he speak all mixed up, half-half. So he say, why we don't go to the Merkaz there, Masjid An-Nur? Hazrat Maulana Sayyid Khansab, Rahimahullah, is buried in Baqi. So I said, very good. We can go meet him, everything. So after Asr, you know, there after Asr to Maghrib is a long gap. So we went. As soon as we just entered, we took our hands out. So Hazrat said, what you want to find out? It's like he was expecting us, you know. So I smiled and I told him, Nay, Hazrat, yeah, Mare Sati hai Afrika ka. And he says that he's not sure and he doesn't want to. Maine jawab di isko lekin ko tasalli nahi hui. He wasn't very satisfied. So Hazrat, ye murghi ka kya masla hai yahan par? Now listen, this is Hazrat, wallahi, I have Quran in front of my hand. That Hazrat Maulana Mawsaid Khan Sahib was Waliullah, and Saudi Arabia expelled him. The day they expelled him, I was there in Medina. And lo and behold, after 1-2 years, he came via Qatar, he performed Umrah, and went to Medina, he passes away in Medina. Who can take it away from him? You understand? These are the awliyaullah. So the Saudi government told him that you can't say you Amir. Amir means prince. And all the dawah, tabligh work, all you must stop. That's the occasion. Haji Farooq Saab was there and he taught me the sentence. He said, Hazrat Thanvi Rahmatullah Ali ne in logo ki baare mein sirf ek jumla likha. حضرت تھانوی رحمت اللہ علیہ نے ان لوگوں دی سعودیز ان کی بارے میں صرف ایک جملہ لکھا. I was wondering کیا لکھا حضرت, تو فرمایا کہ حضرت تھانوی نے لکھا یہ لوگ نجدی ہے وجدی نہیں, یہ لوگ نجدی ہے وجدی نہیں. What means حبیبنا مصطفیٰ صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم made دعا for the people of Sham, the Levant, Syria, Palestine, Jordan, Lebanon and all. Nabi صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم made دعا for the people of Yemen. This hadith in Bukhari Sharif. Then the people asked, وَفِي نَجْدِنَا. Najd refers to Riyadh and all those areas. So Nabi صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم refused to make دعا for them. Therefore they call ulama Najdi. Now this is wrong. You can't say every alim in Saudi is wrong. That's wrong also. Sometimes our people go to another crazy also. They are great, great ulama there also, remember. That Sheikh Umar Falata and them, our teacher who taught hadith in Masjid Nabawi 49-50 years, and many, many others like that. So, but now today things are going from bad to worse. So Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, rahmatulil alameen sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, refused and said, hunaka al-fitan wa zalazil. That day you will find fitnas and zalzala and earthquake and earth tremor. You can see all the fitnas today going on. Bikini beaches and sanamas and all that in Medina. And so many, all the rave shows and musical shows and haram and so forth. So all crazy, crazy things going on. There you must, they allow Ronaldo, the soccer player, to stay with his girlfriend there. So you're legalizing from government level, people can commit zina and adultery. That's what it means. What else it means? So you can see all the haram going on. So that's why Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, remember, refused to make dua. Ye log najdi hai, wajdi nahi. They don't understand tazkiyah, tasawwuf, all that. They will just tell you bid'ah, bid'ah, bid'ah all the time. So therefore, we must remember that when you have the true love for Allah, your heart is saturated with the love of Allah, and you make zikr and so forth, and maybe, you know, you have that inner kayfiyat. So you call it that inner ecstasy. So you call it wajd. So yeah, ye log najdi hai, wajdi. So I went, we went to Hazrat Mohsin Khan Sahib. So when we went there, so Hazrat said, bhai, sabse pehle to ye, ki yaha Medina, his first thing he said, buy the chicken, life. Buy the chicken, life. And you must slaughter it. Don't tell them to slaughter it. Yaha aksar log jo murghiya, speaking of the 70s, jo log murghiya bechte hai, wo shia hai. In 70s, Hazrat is telling us, you see. So you must remember, so buy it, but don't tell them to slaughter it and so forth. And don't trust all this foreign meat and this and this and that. So when we came back, so I told the brother, Hazrat said, maybe you understood half, I gave you the translation. Now you satisfied? He said, yes. I said, didn't I tell you the same thing? He said, yes. So you must remember these things here, yeah, that we have to be extra careful and meticulous when it comes to our consuming halal, or Allah forbid, we must abstain from haram.
Esteemed listeners of Sirius FM in Merkaz Sahaba, the voice of Ahlu Sunnah wal Jama'ah, we welcome you back to this program of Halal and Haram. Mufti Sahab, the next question is, can we rely on the halal organizations that certify and give halal logos?
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. I just give you 2-3 incidents, and everybody knows about it because we mentioned it so many times on the radio. A halal organization invited the ulama. I think we were 14, 15, whatever, plus minus whatever. And we went from here to Durban, and from Durban we came there to near Maritzburg. I don't know if you know the place. The Rainbow Plant was there, very big. Now they finished, like almost, you know, not there, whatever. And Hammersdale or whatever the place was, very, very big. So they had a white manager that time, you know. And they used to slaughter 250,000 chicken per day. Then it went even more to 300,000 chicken per day. So Mufti Afzal Ilyas, I don't know if you met him, you knew him. Allah grant him rahimahullah, Allah grant him Jannatul Firdaus. He was asking the most questions and I was asking the most questions. I'll tell you 1-2 questions. So we asked them, say that the chicken is coming right on that line, you know. It gets shocked and all the things. So stunning and whatever you. So stunning is absolutely haram. We must get that clear. ta'azib, it is called. Even the jutlas don't allow stunning. So absolutely haram for them also. So it's just a money making gimmick, so you can go and slaughter thousands more animal in minimum time. That's why they do stunning. That's the underlying factor. So I asked him that what happens that say the chicken is on the line, and then it gets that shocked or whatever, and then by the time it comes to slaughter, it's dead. He says that we call that pink chicken. That's the term I learned from him. But you could see his face also was turning pink a little bit, you know, because they're not comfortable when you ask them difficult questions. He said, no, we take it off the line, and the slaughterers are no, they know about these things and all that, you know. So I said, oh. Then I said, what you do with it? He said, no, we use it as feed again for the chicken. It's meta, Islamically, it's meta, it's carrion. And then they take it, because for them it's a money-making game. So remember that. So they use it as, this is from the horse's mouth, one. The best part, Maulana, that, so now we're asking, so one, two slot. I don't know how come they landed up by me. I didn't know anybody there. He tell me, you know what, even Eid Salat we didn't read. So I say, why you didn't read Eid Salat? He said, no, these guys, they told us if we don't go for Eid Salat, they will give us extra bonus. You see, like that. So I said, okay, then what about Jumma? I said, we don't read Jumma. Now, I'm posing this question. If people don't read Jumma, now they want to come with a technicality. Is Jumma compulsory, not compulsory? That is not the issue. If these guys don't read Jumma Salat, they don't read Eid Salat and this. And you're telling me that they're slaughtering 300,000. There can be 30 slaughterers also. They will slaughter 1 hour, and then 1 hour they won't slaughter. That's fine. We got no problem. But by the time, if you work average per slaughterer, so how much it will work out to? About 10,000 chicken, 8,000 chicken. Now you're trying to tell me in this day and this age, that guy is going to say per day or per shift or whatever, 8 hours, whatever, that it is 10,000 times, 8,000 times, 7,000 times, you read Bismillah, Bismillah, Bismillah. When we go there, everything is prepared. So then they become like farishtas and angels and all that. They make Bismillah, Bismillah. When we go on, everything changes. It's common sense, obviously. So do you really believe that they read Bismillah for every animal? I mean, they will be biggest awliyaullah. You must remember these things. Eh? But they don't read Jumma and eat Salat. This is our personal experience. It became a very big thing those days. So that was one issue. Then I don't know if you were still studying Zakaria or what. In Cape Town, then they had that Orion debacle. You know the Orion debacle? The Orion debacle is on pork. They had all halal, halal, halal logos and all. Pork, 100% pork. Then this lady, white lady, that Petra, Deba Petra, whatever her name was, I don't know all these people's names. So on TV, she went with her team and crew and what? They took all the photos and snaps and us and all that, and they put it on the TV. What, you know, South Africa, we must be clear on this issue. We can't adopt the ostrich mentality. We must be clear. There are certain dark, dark days in our Islamic Muslim history in South Africa. That was one of our darkest days. When she went there, we said we won't mention any names. When she went there and she interviewed them, her team, they then brought out, you must remember, what you call balance sheet. The stationary amount was, I don't know how many thousand and this and all. It was a foolish thing for them to do, that Allah disgraced them. Today, I mean, you just have to see that one message floating around. So this time, I think it's on that vital group also and so forth. So it's the same people. You must remember this type of things here. So end of the day, when we speak about halal logos and halal stamp, remember, I make it clear, not only in South Africa, I personally have no confidence in any of the halal organizations. It is just a money-making gimmick, and it's not yu'minuna bil-ghayb, it's yu'minuna bil-jayb business. You understand? Just to make money and so forth. And how many times? I mean, Maulana, you yourself, you told me just 2 weeks ago, I think.
Chief.
2 weeks, right? Right.
Chief.
And we got Quran here in front. You were here in ShopRite, isn't it?
Chief.
And then you saw all the halal, what was it? Halal what?
Zalal meat next to, directly next to the ShopRite meat.
Yeah, the haram meat.
Chee.
So all together, like mixed Chee. Up.
And it's not that someone went and they placed it by mistake. This was placed there. And this, I've been mentioned, I've contacted the companies. I told him about this last year also. Nothing has been done about it.
Now see, Abu Mu'azzid, so you must remember, he went 2 weeks ago, to the shop right here in Lanesia, Signet Terrace, right?
Chief.
Right. So, and he sees that the halal meat with halal logo, and just next to it is the haram meat. Now, how we reconcile all these things here? I mean, let us be honest about these things here. So we need to be very, very careful. You see, I was telling you, Habibuna sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's two ahadith. If we practice on that, then we will be on safe grounds. He, Habibuna sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, told, I was telling about the dark pages in our South Africa. So that day was one of the dark, dark pages, the, you know, some newspapers and some of the TV and what and what and what. And, you know, they tried everything. Absolutely disgraced they were. That's one. Then second, when they closed the masajid before, you must remember, the government even said so. We inviting the wrath, then to go to the court to close the masjid. These are the dark, dark days of our Muslim history. That's why we say that these are scholars for dollars. And they know, I tell them on their face, I got no qualms about it at all. They have sold the deen. It's not yu'minuna bil ghaib, it's yu'minuna bil jayb. You're filling your pockets with this haram thing. And similarly with the Sharia compliant. There is no transaction where some healers are not used. Some you take from Hanafi. I told Mufti Taqi Sahib on his face, this is alive. Mufti Rafi Sahib, I mentioned the air so many times, that when we questioned them on 2-3 questions, they couldn't give answer. I told Mufti Taqi Sahib, he's still alive. I told him, Hazrat Muhammad Salimullah Khan Sahib, your teacher, my teacher, all of them, they dead against all this. They keep quiet. You understood? So he's a great alim. We don't dispute that. He's a great alim, you must remember. He did so much work. But there's 2-3 fatwas of his photography. And you must remember, there's other 1-2 things, banking and so. We can never agree with him on these things. Yeah. So Sharia compliant. So what is Sharia compliant? You will take hybrid products. Certain things you take from Hanafi school. Then you take from Maliki school. Then you take from Hanbali school. And you say, yeah, Sharia compliant. So how it works then? So you must remember this. And then you look for Hila. You say, no, when you get dividends, all that, then you must give out the money to the poor. So Mufti Taqi Sahib, he's alive, so therefore I'm taking his name. He says that, no, give it away to the poor, poor people or madrasas, but don't give Darum Karachi. Darum Karachi is their madrasa. Don't give there and all this kind of. So it becomes a mockery end of the day, you understood? So I was telling you this, so these are certain things that we must know. What are the two hadiths before just now time is exhausted, that Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam addressed his beloved grandson, Sayyidina Hassan radiallahu ta'ala anhu. And what is it? Sayyidina Hassan, he saw some date, wanted to pick it up. Nabi alayhi sallallahu alaihi wasallam saw it. Oh, grandson, don't. Da'a ma yuribuka ila ma la yuribuk. Leave that which, remember, puts you into doubt, and offer that in which is no doubt. So anything we have doubt in, whether it's food, whether it's liquid, whether it's whatever, so just stay away. It's not you will die or something, but we love those things there. Yeah. See, easy example I give you. Easy example. People just came out of holiday, right? December holiday, January, 1-2 weeks holiday, yeah. So 90% of Muslims, they love it, you must remember, to eat at restaurants and so forth. And you know how smart they will make it and all these kind of things there. Right, the table and then all the, you know, cutlery and crockery and whatever else and does and the. Ask yourself these 2-3 questions. These people went toilet and all that, non-Muslim, did they even wash their pot of, you understand, and all these kind of things? Or they just used toilet paper. And after that, when they came out, how did they wash their hands and all these type of things? Any non-Muslim, basically. You understood? That is what they do. And who's going to use water? But, you see, outside is up to date. Inside is another story. Now, we are so happy to eat in these kind of places. So therefore, you find there's so much civil war in our homes and all these type of things there. So you know that there's one saying, but leave it now. So that is the first hadith, authentic in Tirmidhi. Second one, Wabisa radiallahu anh, he came to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and asked, Mal bi ismu ya Rasulallah, what is a sin? So you find different words. Ma haka fi sadrik, what works on your mind, one agitates your heart and so forth. Wa karita ayyattali alayhi nas, and you dislike, you must remember the people to come out know about it. So I mean, we have so many things going. People send us this message, this message, this message. Allah alone knows. You must remember that what's really happening. This what we receive is the tip of the iceberg. We must remember that. So then what Nabi alayhi salatu salam said, Ma haka fi sadrik wa karihta ayyattali alayhi nas. And thereafter Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, Istafti qalbak, istafti nafsak, ask your heart, ask your conscience. وَإِنْ وَوَسْلِيَا وَإِنْ أَفْتَاكَ النَّاسِ, even though the Mawlana, the Sheikh, the Mufti, the Imams, they said halal, 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 you must abstain. So authentic Sahih Hadith in Musnad Ahmad. But let us be honest, put 100 million Muslims there, who's going to do it, Mawlana? If you get 5 million also, you'll be lucky. That is where the ummah is today. Remember these kind of things there. And then another point we raise is about kosher. In 1989, I traveled. So we, our fatwa is, not only South Africa, I went to Malaysia. They told me Malaysia, very good. Jakim and all is there. Halal organization. And government also, you understand, recognizes it and all that. So anyway, so I went there to one masjid. So where the imam stands, they got a lion, you know. Not a real lion now. They got that, like, you know, images of the lion. So I asked that Sheikh, they jais this. You say, Jakim say it's jais. I say, you must tell Jakim that all these kind of things here. How can you? He said, no. They told us if it's a halal, if it's a live lion, then it's not permissible. A dead lion is permissible. I say, what you guys play with Sharia and this type of things here? You see, they find like this, or like when we're in Saudi, you see, they should invite me for conferences. So one day, it was a conference on media. For that one, I wasn't invited, but I knew one guy there. I told him, I'm coming with you guys. He said, yeah, you come, but you don't speak. I said, fine. So one of the delegates, they asked the Saudi, how can you allow all these movies and all that naked woman bikinis and what, right by the Haram Sharif? The answer the Saudi guy gave, see my brother, once they start my brother, then you must know. You see my brother, that what comes from the top, you know, the satellite, that we can't stop. If it comes from the bottom, that we can stop. I'm looking at him, send one message from the top against your king and crown prince and ruler, and then what you will do? Today you just send a tweet against them, they lock you up for 20, 30 years. They give this kind of fairy tale answer. I was present there. So, but they told me not to say anything. I don't tell you, talking utter nonsense. But they just talk like this kind of thing. So, like this. So, my thing is this, that we don't trust any halal organization in any part of the world. That is our stance on this here. So, you must remember, we have no confidence at all. Whether it's Muslim country, Arab country, South Africa, or whatever. That is number one. Number two, practice on these two usul. So people ask me, then what way you buy your chicken? I say, Alhamdulillah, we got our Mawlana, yeah? They slaughter, they do this, whatever, no stunning, nothing. We buy from them, Alhamdulillah. So if if you worry and concern, Allah will make a way out from you. And how many people I told him, buy from him this Mawlana and so and so. But we don't have that concern. We just halal. Then what about Sharia compliant and all these type of things? Yeah? So we say we don't agree at all with it. Hazrat Mawlana Salimullah Khan Sahib, our Ustad Mufti Taqrir Uspa, Ustad Mufti Rafi passed away, Rahimahullah. So remember that he told me when he came to South Africa, you write a fatwa and then we send it off there to Jamia Faruqiyah, they'll print it. I told him, Hazrat, I'm raising my liquor. He said, I'm English. So this type of things, against all these things here, you know, Sharia compliant and this and so like that it is. Kosher, I was traveling in 89 from Egypt to Tel Aviv. There was no other airline. From here when I left, they told me I'll get Sinai A or A Sinai, but they did, I don't know, something happened. They were not flying. So we went with El Al. Yeah, it's 45 minutes flight, 50 minutes, like Joburg, Durban. So the Jutla airline. So that is the only time I flew with them. So I found it very interesting in this sense. I want to see how their kosher works and that. So sometimes it's good to go as an investigating journalist. The time I had nothing to do with media. I was in Newcastle in 1989. So I came here 2001, January. That's the time the media career started. Well, Allah's help, Allah's mercy. So they brought to us green, like, you know, a plate and something. We had a short flight. Some snacks, what I didn't open anything. I just looked at it and so, and it's written there in, you know, Hebrew and Arabic or English or whatever, that if you find anywhere it's a opening or the seal is broken, you mustn't accept it. Like that, they're very strict and all that. I'll tell you quickly one story also of Newcastle area and that. Then what happened was, after that 10-15 minutes, they brought alcohol. So I look, I see, what up with this Jutlas? You say that, no, this is kosher alcohol. So that is what makes a mockery of the whole dietary law of the Jutlas of the Jews. That once you allowed alcohol, you destroy everything. You understood that? They, Ma Qasim Sema, our principal, Allah give him Jannatul Firdaus, that old northern hotel, it was, we used to run the whole area like Darulum, you know. So Morana always would tell me, you go and see this and this. So all these abattoirs there in that northern hotel. So one day I went to one of those towns there. So lo and behold, when I went there, I saw a rabbi there. I said, this is very good. Let me discuss with him. I said, rabbi, tell me your guys' laws. You understand how you slaughter? What are your conditions? Say, first of all, we don't allow any Jew to slaughter. The rabbi must be there. Today we catch all these Malawi guys and Muazzins and pay them peanuts and this and this, just tell them you slaughter. And you know how it goes. You say that, first thing. Second thing, we don't allow stunning. That time already he told me. No stunning at all. And we must do this, we must do this, and all these type of things. So therefore, brothers and sisters, we are not here to just condemn people or criticize. We are here to show you what Islam teaches. So we must consume halal and tayyiba. I end with this here. And what Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, so you must remember this, that Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam taught us a dua for Fajr Salat. His hadith is sahih in Ibn Majah. And what is that written there? So you must remember, so you must remember this, that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said the dua. Fajr time, you must read it. Allahumma inni as'aluka ilman nafi'a. O Almighty Allah jalla wala, I ask of you such beneficial knowledge. Wa rizqan tayyiba. See there. Wa rizqan tayyiba. I ask of you such rizq that is tayyib and pure and wholesome. And wa amalam mutaqabbala. And O Almighty Allah jalla wala, we ask of you, Ya Allah, that all these actions we do, you accept it. So may Almighty Allah make us of those who consume halalan tayyiba, whether we in Safar or whether we are in Hadar and so forth and so on. And inshallah, 12 o'clock will be the news. And remember this, that we will be, inshallah, then with Suleiman Esop is the news, and then the lecture from after the news to 1 o'clock will be by Maulana Ridwan Kaji, inshallah, and regarding drugs. So remember, so it suits in very nice, mashallah, well, with our program. So that will be first the news, and then Maulana Ridwan Kaji, 1 o'clock will be Zohar Azan, and thereafter will be Surah Al-Fajr, verses 15 and 16, and thereafter, inshallah, from the archives, then 2 to 3 will be Brother Yusuf Ali, and then the repeat of this morning's Q&A, and inshallah, thereafter will be Zikr, and thereafter Mufti Ahmed Khan Puri, and 5 to 7, inshallah, Maulana Khalid Yaqub, 7 to 7:30, the repeat of of today's tafsir, and thereafter 7:35 or so will be more Dawood Siddat, and 8 to 10 will be Moana Arafat Hatia and Moana Salim Kareem with a discussion. Barakallahu fiqh. We will send out all these podcasts to you, inshallah. So always make sure your children also, they just cry, just give them anything. No, you must make sure they must be given halal and tayyiba. Barakallahu fiqh. Salamu alaykum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
We say jazakumullah khairan to Mufti Saab and to the listeners of Sirius FM and Markaz Sahaba, the voice of Ahlu Sunnah wal Jama'ah. We head on for the news now with Brother Suleiman Esop. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Markaz Sahaba, the voice of Ahlu Sunnah wal Jama'ah.